It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to, and this is just in general for sure, it's not a good thing to bring about more division. You know, from my experience, from a family's experience, from the experience of the communities that I know and visit throughout the United States, we work very hard. And we live and die in those fields. And we need support, resources, education, educational resources, and not those kind of comments.
I want to thank you so much. Juan Felipe Herrera recently became the first Latino U.S. poet laureate. And that does it for the show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford College. We're live in the studios, as we usually are almost every Friday. And although not next week, I'm sorry, the new WHFR Journal will be pre-recorded next week. Yours truly will be out of town. But today's show is going to be great, so I'm glad that you're tuned in or listening to the podcast. So let's get that theme going, huh? And we'll get started with the first stories in just a moment. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Today is Friday, October the 9th, and the winter weather is approaching. I think they call it fall right now, but we are here and we'll keep you warm with all the hot news in town, local news for Dearborn and the surrounding area. I'm joined in the studio by our WHFR News Director, John Conroy. Welcome back, John.
Well, thank you, Jay. It's good to be here.
Okay, I'm trying to find out what microphone people are on.
You got me.
Okay. And also our blues DJ, who has been helping to produce Joanne Korczynska's show for Highway 61 for the last couple of weeks. Kitty Love is here in the studio. Say hello, Kitty.
Hello, everybody out there.
Okay, so that's interesting what microphone you're on. All right. You're on number one, and you're on number...
Ooh.
Which one are you?
Three.
Oh, okay. Somebody played musical microphones with us, and I didn't check on the way in. So this is live radio. You know that's true. We're all volunteers here at the station, except for yours truly, and I should know better, right? But let's go to the top story of the day. There's actually two stories that are the top story of the day, late breaking news. First of all, I haven't watched Bill O'Reilly's show, The O'Reilly Factor, on Fox cable TV, well, so-called news network. But apparently last night, or maybe the night before, the article doesn't indicate, but this morning in the unprecedentedguide.com website, it was reported that they ran a segment on The O'Reilly Factor, taking an aim at the Muslim community right here. You guess where? Right here in Dearborn, of course. So it says, during the nearly five-minute segment called Watchers World, apparently that's the host or the producer of that little segment, Mr. Watcher, W-A-T-T-E-R-S. Anyway, O'Reilly, that is Bill O'Reilly, not our mayor here, sent an employee to Dearborn, I think, Water, to find out more about the Mecca for Muslims, quote-unquote, as they called it. O'Reilly also said, again, this is Bill O'Reilly, that the Dearborn City Council is controlled by Muslims and that the police chief is Muslim. Neither statement is true. Okay? That is the case, folks. Okay? And that's the Press and Guide saying it, as well as many others. So, Waters ask Arab Americans in this five-minute segment here in Dearborn if they missed living in the desert, if they liked or were jealous of Christmas, and why they moved to America. He asked a white man what he thought of all the Muslims. The man said, "They're bad, they're not friendly, and they don't speak to you," unquote. Well, of course, you know, you can walk up to anybody on the street and expect almost any kind of answer, and if you keep asking people things, especially with leading questions, you're going to get some responses that might be like that. But nonetheless, that just one person happened to say that, and they were on camera. Now, I'd like to believe that wasn't a setup, but still, there's all kinds of people out there, even in Dearborn, have all kinds of opinions, and if you try hard enough, you'll get any opinion you want for that particular segment. Also in that 5-minute segment on Fox News' Bill O'Reilly show, a woman wearing a hijab was asked about terrorists. She responded that it seems like people think all Muslims are terrorists. Waters agreed, saying, "Well, there must be a reason for that." Again, that's the reporter, if you want to call him that, that was hosting that segment. When he asked about Sharia law, many of the respondents had not even heard of it, but one said that he felt it would be better if the country were governed by Sharia law instead of the Constitution. We don't know who that person was, but everybody has their opinion, of course. Other person-related stories of a stoning and a horror and honor killing, which were also false, that happened in this area, supposedly, but actually didn't. So how many things did they get wrong so far about Dearborn? Even the Press and Guide caught them in at least 5 or 6 major lies. Okay, so when they say, because Fox News, their TV news, cable news channel, they're always proclaiming how, they're the number one station, and a lot of people watch and believe it. That's the problem here. And this segment about Dearborn was patently false. It was a setup. It was a, what do they call it, it was a contrived axe job on Dearborn.
Hatchet job.
Hatchet job. There you go. I think an axe is more.
You like the axe?
Yeah, it's bigger than a hatchet. And Dearborn's mayor, this is Jack O'Reilly. Well, they call him Jack here. Anyway, John O'Reilly, John B. O'Reilly Jr., of course, responded to the segment condemning the mistruths that were repeated. And here's his quote from our mayor, who said this in a letter. I hope it was an email, otherwise Bill O'Reilly won't get it for a few days. But he said, "While I understand the segment was intended to be lighter fare." Oh, it was intended to be a joke? Yeah. On a news station, you're running jokes? "Its presentation of false facts, so-called facts, is dishonest and has unplanned and very negative consequences. I understand humor can be a means to offer insight about topics that may be unfamiliar to some of your viewers, but this piece failed to do that and was shockingly flippant, especially with false references to stoning and honor killings." Again, our Mayor O'Reilly, to Bill O'Reilly, went on to say, quote, "I ask you to review your piece and consider the perception of Dearborn and Muslims that a number of your audience members may take from it. Could they infer that Muslims do not embrace our American Constitution and therefore want to establish Sharia law? It may be of interest that the two people on the city council who are Muslim," and by the way, folks, if you counted, two is not a majority, so the city council is not controlled by Muslims. However, I do have to mention that I think a majority have a heritage, that is relatives that go back to the Middle East. Actually, I think 4 of them are from Lebanon, if I'm not mistaken. But they're Christians. 2 of those 4 are Christians. They're not Muslim. Okay, so if that matters, I'm just saying people might misunderstand, because what has been reported on and off erratically is that, our city council controlled by Muslims. No. But there is a couple of people. And it was interesting in the last election cycle, which was that 4 years ago or something, that I got the impression that, or somebody else gave me the impression, that, just being from the Middle East meant that you were Muslim or something. And it was just so crazy. I mean, and it's so hard in the news media to get it right. But you would think that the organization that's so-called number one in viewership would be number one because they can get it right. Again, was it clearly indicated as a satiric piece, as a satire about how everybody gets it wrong? I don't trust Fox News to do satire, personally. I think everything they do is satire of themselves, but I don't trust them to get it right. If it was Stephen Colbert, at least on his old show, he would get it right. And I, you know, people would recognize it was satire, or most people would. And the mayor goes on to say, it may be of interest that the two people on the Dearborn City Council who are Muslim are both practicing attorneys who have sworn to uphold the U.S. Constitution and the Constitution of the state of Michigan. And the entire history of Dearborn, there's never been a discussion about following any other course of law. To imply otherwise about a city in America is ridiculous, said our mayor, John B. O'Reilly Jr. The mayor told the Fox television host that Dearborn is an inclusive city and the Muslims and Arab Americans who live here are engaged in the community and strive to make it a better place to live and work. Again, another quote from our mayor. I assure you that there's nothing going on in Dearborn that is different than in any other community across America. The majority of our citizens who are Muslim engage in all of the activities that make our city a great place to live, work, and visit. They do this along with other residents of other faiths and support fundraisers and charities, participate in our Memorial Day parade, which is the oldest and one of the largest in the state, and are behind other activities that build up our community and strengthen our connections, unquote. Dawood Walid, who's executive director of Michigan's Council on American Islamic Relations, condemned the program, and he said, again, I think D-A-W-U-D is a man's first name. I apologize if it's a woman. The comment from the Islamic Relations Council here in Michigan. It would be difficult for anyone to pack more racist and Islamophobic stereotypes and misinformation into a single segment. Once again, instead of a nuanced look at America's rich ethnic and religious diversity, Fox News offers only crude caricatures of Muslims and Arab Americans. Okay. In his closing, Bill O'Reilly, the mayor, our mayor, John B. O'Reilly Jr., assured him that Dearborn has always been an inclusive community. And he's got a nice statement about all the things we do together. So there we are. Well, then we just found out, if you were keeping up, apparently on, wait a minute.
Bless you, Jay.
Yes.
Had to take time out for a little sneeze there. Didn't want to contaminate the listeners.
No.
Eardrums, you know, it can be a problem. Gets too loud. Well, we found out that it's on Detroit Free Press, in the Detroit Free Press website. That was placed there 11 p.m. last night, and John heard it today on his way in to the station on WJR AM, that tomorrow in Dearborn, and I'm not looking at it in front of me because I don't, won't get it wrong, and I think maybe on purpose they don't give exact times even in the Free Press story, but here in Dearborn there's going to be a protest at the Islamic Center of America, one of their largest Muslim facilities in this area, which is just north of Henry Ford College here on Ford Road. And the organizers, who Army O'Reilly says are pretty level-headed, although they're talking about how Muslims are not nice people. It's an anti-Muslim demonstration, folks, okay? And in a way, I'm glad that I don't have the story in front of me so that I don't have to give the details that might encourage people to attend one way or the other. And the other thing that disturbed me, and again, our non-Muslim police chief, Ron Hadid, has stated that they're coordinating the efforts to control that demonstration, no matter who shows up, no matter how many. And I know the last time there was an anti-Muslim demonstration in Dearborn, they had the whole squad of 23 police cars and 3 ambulances at the event. And I think only about 10, 15 people showed up, mostly the protesters who were from out of state. So there you go. But the disturbing thing was, and it's a reason to stay away, I guess, folks, although not if you're Muslim and are attending service or something. Don't let a little protest hold you back, I don't think, but don't get involved in the protest itself. Because in America, I think we have a right to protest if it's civil, okay? Mm-hmm. But the part that I don't like is that the organizers are encouraging people to bring guns, their guns with them. So the anti-Muslim protesters are encouraged to bring their guns with them if they're legally able to do so. And of course, in Michigan, open carry is allowed anywhere, except now a few cities are getting exceptions for their schools in Michigan. But I know Ann Arbor, I think, has got something in place now that changes that. Concealed carry is again not allowed in places like the so-called gun-free zones at this point, even. But open carry, strange law, should not be in place in Michigan, in the opinion of yours truly. And John, what do we say about those opinions?
Yes, views expressed by the co-host and co-hosts on this show are not necessarily the views of WHFR or Henry Ford College.
There you go. Thank you, John. So now I can say anything I want to, right? About anything or anyone. No, I wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying is that, I think the open carry law in Michigan is just crazy. I think it's strange, but I could agree with the concealed carry law, except for certain venues, but not open carry. Open carry just causes upset and scares people. And I think it only causes more people to want to grab their guns or wear their guns. And so I don't think it's a good trend. And yet it's been the law in Michigan for years and years, open carry. So, and I'm an advocate. I'm advocate of the Second Amendment in terms of individuals owning guns. But, with all the disputes that have come up in the last couple of weeks, I know there's all opinions back and forth about what to do. I'm for tightening up the laws we have now, and also getting, just like for concealed carry, you have to go through a training course. You have to go through lectures about what is the law, and you have to prove then that you can safely fire a gun in the right direction, hit a target and things. I mean, that's part of the requirements to get the concealed carry permit. But to get a handgun in Michigan, you just have to fill out a federal document now. After the last couple of years, there's a federal law that says you have to register your gun with the federal government. And but that doesn't take much to fill out that form. I think it's just one page or a small card. In fact, less than a page. And yes, they do a background check of some sort at the federal level, but of course they don't always connect with any local indiscretions that you might have done with a gun some other state or some other place. Maybe it didn't get reported or into the database, so that's not perfect. But at least let's not have people that don't know what the appropriate laws are. And as I had police chief Hadid right here in the studio, and I pointed out to him that there's 277 pages of gun laws that apply here in the state of Michigan. Some talk about the kinds of guns you can sell or not sell, how you can carry, when you can't carry. And I said, has any of your officers ever read the whole 277 pages? I didn't want to say, have you read them, Chief? And he didn't give me a direct answer. How can they enforce the gun laws if there's so many of them, too, and there's so many details? Now, I know there's ongoing training and so on with our police officers, but I think, that's kind of crazy, too. Well, okay, so there is going to be a protest tomorrow in Dearborn, apparently, but the police, the FBI, and everybody are going to be there monitoring it. It looks like it's going to be at the Islamic Center of America, which is on Ford Road here, and I don't know the time, and almost on purpose, I don't want to give it. Because I don't think anybody should be part of that, especially if the organizers, the so-called relatively easy to work with organizers, according to our Mayor O'Reilly, actually recommending people bring their guns. Because, along the way, we also want to support the Second Amendment. Well, I don't think that's the way to do it. And I just think it's going to cause more fear and panic. It's very interesting to me that this protest, by the way, does have national connections. I don't know if all the connections are for a protest tomorrow, but there is a national organization that's behind this too, and I can't remember the name, and I don't even want to give them credit. Okay. Yeah, John, anything else?
No, I know the name, but you don't want to.
Well, go ahead. Mention the name of the organization.
Well, it's called Global Rally for Humanity.
Okay. And they do have a website, or they got a Facebook page in Michigan, Global Rally for Humanity, if you want to check it out. Yep, I know. Okay, well, we're moving on, folks. There's bigger and better things to talk about other than the problems Dearborn gets into with the national media and why the protests always seem to have to come here. Just because we have that population doesn't mean that we're all bad people here or that we have Sharia law or anything else crazy or out of step. We have a lot of people with different opinions, though. And we do have some crime in Dearborn, not as much as Detroit, but, you know, and I don't care what their religion is. They better not do that crime thing, you know. We've got a great police force here, and they'll be in trouble if they get into that. Okay, well, there's national stories. There's statewide stories, and there's also local stories. Let me see before we go into some of the other ones. Boy, John, you've got a lot of notes there.
I do.
Okay. Well, you go ahead. You take one now.
Oh, okay. I'm going to talk about a downriver subject right now.
Sure.
And that is Bill Bynum's bluegrass band. And he has a new singer that's with his band. There's going to be a concert tonight at Chateau on the River, which is a brand new venue that has been reconditioned at Elizabeth Park. And that's at 7 p.m. And then tomorrow he also plays at the Gros Seal Fall Harvest Fest at Centennial Farm from 1 to 4. Besides Bill Bynum, there will also be hay rides and food available and games for kids to play and lots of festivities.
Okay.
And all these proceeds are going to help the Gros Seal Animal Shelter.
Okay. Yep, that's great. There's also something going on. I'm just throwing this at you. Gros Seal Foundation, is it Educational Foundation? They're right. Doing Oktoberfest or Halloween something?
Yeah, Oktoberfest tonight or tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at Fifth Third Bank in the middle of Gros Seal's business district.
Okay.
And that's a $45 per person set up with I'm not sure who's going to be entertaining there, but there'll be food and games, et cetera, for all to enjoy.
Okay, you brought up, I see where it is. Okay. How's that bridge doing down there, Gros Seal?
The bridge is still under a great deal of repair. Roads leading to it and right up to the bridge are down to one lane. So it's quite a bit of traffic, but there is progress being made. They shifted, actually, from one lane to the other now. To fix that excess area.
So you just gave me, in fact, you have it here somewhere, the opinion from Craig Ferrand this week.
I gave it to you, Jay. And
I know, and I have my own copy of it. Where did it go here? Okay, now we're looking for stories, people. Okay. Kitty Love, go ahead. You've got a few stories there while we shuffle papers here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. There she is.
Yes, I'm here. They're bringing two schools together to battle against hunger. The school rivals Fortson High and Dearborn High are going to be battling it out on October 16th at 7 p.m., the big game at Dearborn High on Friday. They are collecting cans, non-perishable food items, and monetary donations to help families in need with the Gleaners Community Food Bank in Southeast Michigan. And the battle begins on Monday, October 12th, where the collection sites at both Fortson and Dearborn High, they're going to be student leaders collecting donations at the doors for each school before the beginning of each day of school from 6:50 to 7:20 a.m. You can go with donations that will help the families around town and bring the two schools together on the field at Dearborn High. And donations are going to be taken at the night of the game through the first quarter, and they're going to be battling against hunger.
What time does the game start? Is it next week, Friday, the 16th?
Yes, I believe that was 7 p.m.
7 p.m., okay.
Yes.
And
Dearborn High.
So if it's not convenient for you to circle by with the kind of food that Gleaners needs is the canned goods and I think they call them non-perishables. And if you want to drop some off, it is kind of a competition.
Yes, there's separate bins with the school's names. So if you want to bring Fortson and have Fortson get the most.
So even if one team loses the game, they might win in terms of collecting food for the locally needy.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah,
cool
thing for the kids to do and, you know, brings the schools together to battle against hunger.
Right. Well, if you have to battle against anything, I think that might be a worthy cause rather than battling against each other.
Right.
Certainly
literally.
Sounds like a win-win situation as well.
Okay, well, I found my paper here, so let me finish the idea. At the end, and it's great commentary, as usual each week, more or less every week, in the Downriver, the voice of Downriver newspaper, the News Herald, and they have a website, folks, thenewsherald.com. If you want to turn to that, just like pressandguide.com, just because Craig Foran frequently talks about Downriver, it looks like they've corralled him only in the Downriver paper. Well, his final comment is about the bridge. He said in his editorial, his 100 words or less, he says, "You could have mistaken it for a ghostly apparition in the fog, but it was real. A crane has arrived at the shores of the Rouge River with another larger crane expected shortly. Their task, to begin work on repairing the broken Jefferson Avenue Bridge over the river, a span that has been out of commission for 2 years." This is to Grosseal, of course.
No, this is
the one in
River Rouge. Oh, yeah.
Right, this is the River Rouge Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't know about your bridge.
Well, that's still being...
That's being worked on.
The bridge is okay, but the access to the bridge is what's being worked on.
Well, this is the one, that's right, that was completely out of commission.
And this bridge that gets fixed, when it does get fixed, will be a huge benefit to all the people that live in the businesses.
Well, as we covered the story about River Rouge, a lot of business people said they were, you know, really going broke. I mean, losing tons of money, and it's been, what, about 2 years already since that bridge had trouble. And again, we wonder, is that the kind of bridge maintenance that should be going on in terms of funding from the state, or at least partial funding from the state? Well, somehow they got the first crane there, and there's going to be another one. And it looks like they say they might have that River Rouge Bridge open by next August. That's 2016. And that would be 4 months earlier than what they heard before. So maybe all the hubbub and to-do and the mention of this show got the attention of the powers that be somehow. That's just unacceptable. There's no safety hazard because nobody can go across there. But I'm just saying it's it's something that's got to be done for the sake of the business in River Rouge.
Well, also it creates such a traffic problem in the whether it's in the morning rush hour time or late afternoon, because there's no alternative. You just are going to stay in line on 75 and no way to go through the streets of River Rouge or environs close to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm going to do the sort of survey and recap of the stories that I've read in the Dearborn Press and Guide and Dearborn Times Herald for the last week from last Sunday's Dearborn Press and Guide from October the 4th. Just in the back section, section B. B1. Beware, B1. There's a community walk they talk about, and there's a lot of community walks for this cause or that cause, folks, all the time. And it's all good. It's all, you know, helping to try to find cures or resolve problems, and that's great, of course. But in this case, it was, where is it? Oh, I'm digging for newspapers again. Oh, my goodness. Where's the Sunday paper here? Okay, I'll find it. There it is. B1. Mm-hmm. It's called the 8th Annual Downriver Out of the Darkness Walk. It takes place October 18th, and it's not too close by. It's at Lake Erie Metro Park in Brownstown Township. Now, maybe the leaves are changing, and it's pretty out there. I don't know how many trees are in Lake Erie Metro Park, but it might be a fun outing in nature for the family. It's a family-oriented sort of thing, and it's that Out of Darkness Walk is to support suicide prevention, okay? Suicide prevention. Let me read the story. Suicide is a private act with very public repercussions. One person decides to end their life, but a host of other lives are affected by the loss. And, you know, often on the media, that's what happens, too. Like, someone commits suicide, and someone in that same sort of group, whether it's a Vietnam vet or another high school student, they sort of get the idea, oh, that's something to do, I guess. That's an option. No, it's never an option because it's never a solution, folks. It's my opinion. And I speak from someone who is in the biggest category of suicides. Okay, white males over 65.
Oh,
John, just thought I'd let you know about that.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet.
No, I know. Just and I, of course, it's hard to figure that one out because, like, I thought white guys rule the world, right? Michael Moore wrote a book about old white guys, in fact, and that wasn't too complimentary either. But supposedly, you know, you've had a great life. You're past 65. Why, you know? What's the issue? Well, I could go into details, folks, but other than that, though, the really horrible thing is the second largest demographic is teenagers that commit suicide. It's the number one cause of death for young people. I think that's 12 to 25 or something, if I got the group right. And that's, you know, the number one cause of death. It's not natural, of course, at all. You say, what about people shooting you or whatever? Yes, I think that's number two for teenagers, is that the violence of interactions and that usually involve guns. But, you know, the suicide and the irony there is they have so much that could still happen that might be good for them. They have so many new directions and new things they could involve themselves in. And it's almost, by several people, it's called, by several experts, an epidemic of suicide, especially among young people. It's that number. Now, maybe we're just reporting these things more than we ever did before, because it was covered up for decades and decades. At least, you know, when I was growing up, nobody would talk about that if they knew someone that had committed suicide, young or old. And now, of course, it's getting more publicity. And in a good way, because there's more ways to help these people. So what about these walks? It says, we're just trying to give permission to people to talk about it, said the organizer of the Downriver Walk. When it happens in a family, the most you hear is that it happened, and then nobody wants to talk about it. These walks finally give people a place where they can go and find everyone knows exactly how they feel. They're able to talk about it freely and find a tremendous amount of comfort and support. So these Out of Darkness walks bring together people to raise money to save lives and also educate others about mental health issues. And so, again, the event is going to be happening at 11 a.m. on October 18th, and it's a Sunday, I believe. If you said the 16th was a Friday, Sunday must be the 18th. At 11 a.m. at Lake Erie Metro Park in Brownstown Township, there'll be a program at noon before the walk kicks off. And of course they want donations, and maybe somebody could sponsor you in your walk that would also chip in some money for that. If I have the page here, turning those pages on the air, more information, here we go. Yep. Well, you can contact Duffy, who is the organizer. Her number, it gives it right here in the paper, 313-600-4197. That's 313-600-4197 to learn more about the group that's helping to organize the walk Out of Darkness. Of course, if you or someone you know is in crisis and needs immediate help, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK, TALK, which is 1-800-273-TALK, or if you can't remember the word talk, 8255. 1-800-273-8255. That's just, again, it's if it's the eighth year, I just hadn't heard about that before, so at least we got that in. Dearborn Times Herald, interesting story. I'll go quickly with some of these. The Royal Dearborn Hotel, everybody knows where that is? Okay, one person in the studio is not sure. It's a former Hyatt Regency from years ago. They've renamed themselves. The last owner thought that they could call it the Regency Dearborn, which is very classy. And as the second largest hotel in Michigan, 772 rooms. Oh, my God.
Large place.
Regency seems like the name, but the Hyatt then sued them because apparently Regency is something they call their hotels. And they said, well, even though it's not the Hyatt Regency, you can't call it the Regency anyway. And so then they changed it to, because maybe they had their letterhead already done, the Royal. They kept the R, you know, the Royal Dearborn. Well, there's a question of ownership, but there's always a question of who's going to manage it. See, the owners, they just want to make money. They don't care about managing it, running it. What do they know about hotels? They're just trying to make money on it. So they got the third different management company in a year, which is reported in the Dearborn Times-Herald from this last Wednesday. And it's a company called Kusa LLC. And it's based in Kennesaw, Georgia. They know something about hospitality down there in Georgia, right? Hospitality is our middle name. Yep. Okay. And, again, CUSA President Deborah Cannon said that hotel has great potential. Yeah, it's got all those rooms that are mostly empty. It's great potential. But they say they're going to come in and they're going to put their own staff in place. I don't know if that means they're firing the other people who have been there. But they're going to put new things in the hotel to restore it to its heyday. To its heyday. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll put in the monorail, however, that Ford Motor made part of that.
Won't get that going again.
Because that was a bad idea right there. Never worked in the winter. So anyway, we hope the Royal Dearborn Hotel and Convention Center is going to get by just fine with their new management, which has already taken over. They took over on October 5th, folks. So go over and check it out. I mean... And maybe they'll get some really big conventions eventually because they really got to fill that place, 772 rooms. They need 200-person staff and 63,000 square feet of banquet space they have. Yeah, yeah. Must be some new jobs there, maybe. Okay, let's see what else is coming up. This is interesting to me, and I read about it before, and it's not until November 7th, but Comic-Con... Now, this is not the one in San Diego spelled C-O-M-I-C-Con, okay, C-O-N, which is the big one with anime and cartoonists and movie stars related to fantasy and science fiction. This is a local Comic-Con, and it's spelled C-O-M-I-Q-U-E. Comique. So it's sort of a French spelling of comic. Con, C-O-N. And it's going to be at the Arab American National Museum. Hey, okay. And it's going to be on November 7th. And this is a special focus, folks, which is maybe why it's comique. It's the amazing work of female comic creators. So the writers, the drawers, the inkers, there's all separate names for that. They're going to be honored and presented. There's going to be all kinds of things going on there, and it's going to be at the Arab American National Museum. So I just think that that's a really unique event, and it does honor women in that field. And that's one of those fields, sort of like blues music, where women don't seem to get a lot of attention.
Our Niagara does. She's the singer Niagara, and she does artwork as well.
Tell us about her.
Oh, she's a local... Detroit area based musician, and she's got her Niagara band as well as okay. She does a racy kind of comics there. It seems to be racy.
Well, the way you say it sounds racy. Yes. Okay. And she does comics too.
Oh yes.
Wow, cool. So maybe she'll be there too. Niagara, ask for her, and don't do the old Three Stooges joke when you ask for her. Okay. I'm so old. And fire department, we mentioned this a long time ago, they're going to have an open house tomorrow on, I think it's the one in West Dearborn. This is December 10th, so tomorrow, noon to 2 o'clock. But, oh my gosh, it is that time of year, and it's interesting that the open house is so close to their special Halloween-oriented open houses. So where's the story now, folks? Who's got it in front of them? Come on. It says Dearborn Firefighters Open House. I've got it. Okay. It's their pumpkin patches. Pumpkin patches. Looking for a few good pumpkins to celebrate fall? Head to the Dearborn Fire Safety House. Now, not tomorrow during the open house. The fire safety house is the one just north on Outer Drive from Michigan Avenue. But the pumpkin patch will be October 17th and 18th, so next weekend, okay? Or the weekend after that, October 24th and 25th. And you can pick up a pumpkin there and support a good cause. And what is the cause? It is the firefighters burn drive that they do all year long. They raise money all year long a variety of ways. In addition to the chance to pick a variety of pumpkins for just $5 each, each child can check out fire equipment and get a face painting and sample some fall snacks. Which I assume they might get the face painting and some snacks tomorrow, too, at the open house for 2 hours. But tomorrow is not the pumpkin patch. Okay, so it's the 17th and 18th and the 24th and 25th. And on those days, the pumpkin patch will also offer, besides the fall snacks in detail, it's going to be cookies, donuts, and cider, as well as, there's going to be a huge crowd here, free Coney dogs for those who stop by from noon to 5 p.m. on the days that the pumpkin patch is open. Now, the free Coney dogs are courtesy of Joe's Top Dog, Coney Island. Mm-hmm. John, you want to segue to remind us who's going to be performing at Joe's Top Dog, Coney Island tonight?
Very good to segue. I like that. October 9th is going to be the Rich Michaels Trio is there every week, every Friday night. And their special guest tonight is George Saxman Benson.
Okay.
Where's that at?
That's at the Joe's Top Dog, Coney Island and Bar.
Michigan Avenue.
Which is Michigan Avenue.
East Dearborn.
Right at Schaefer, Michigan Avenue and Schaefer.
Sort of the north side of the street, right?
Yes. Called Jazz Fridays. Mm-hmm. There's more guest vocalists and other players.
And unlike a lot of music venues, though, this is only from 7 to 10 p.m., if I'm not mistaken, right?
7 to 10,
yeah.
Correct.
So, for those people that go to bed a little earlier or whatever, it's good to mention that. Or you don't want to show up at 9 and discover it's all going to be over in a few moments, you know. That's very interesting. And, again, support live music. All the local artists need that help and support. And really stellar lineup of jazz people over there at Joe's Top Dog. And there's no cover. Now, I should say about the pumpkin patch, let me just finish up that story, the pumpkin patch is sponsored by, so it's not city funds, because they'd lose money, right? They're trying to raise money for the burn drive. Les Stanford Chevrolet, Westbourne Market, and Park Place Catering are helping to provide the goodies and the things to give away, the snacks and that. So thank you to those sponsors. So Dearborn Pumpkin Patch, not this weekend, but they do have an open house. If you just want to go by, and when there's fewer crowds grabbing hot dogs, tomorrow from noon to 2, but the pumpkin patch is the following two weekends, Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5, and get your pumpkins there too, a good cause.
Okay. And speaking of goodies, they do have a separate menu for all those who are in the lounge. At Joe's Top Dog, okay. Which is not just hot dogs and Coney dogs. It's really good stuff. Speaking of food, I was part of the Oktoberfest this past week at Henry Ford's 5101 restaurant.
And how was it?
It was very, very good. There was lunch from 11 to 1, but I went to the one at 6 o'clock, and it was packed.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot. There was a big line going in, and the food was great. And I think everybody had a good time.
Yes, right here at the main campus. And in fact, I was trying to think about it. I don't think there is another campus now. Because we sold the Dearborn Heights campus to the Dearborn Public Schools. And I don't think we have one on the east side anymore. I think that's closed years ago, decades ago maybe. So I'll stop saying the main campus. It's the campus of Henry Ford College, 5101 Evergreen Road. And, of course, the restaurant here, student-run restaurant, managed by professionals, is the 5101 restaurant, and it's in the Student Center building where WHFR studios are. I just want to mention, yes, if you missed Oktoberfest, but are really sorry about that, next week it is the Cuisine of the Midwest.
Next week.
I didn't know we had cuisine here in the Midwest. I guess we got all kinds of cuisine. Cuisine, you normally think of fine cuisine. What is the fine dining cuisine of the Midwest? Okay,
we don't know.
We got a hospitality student here in the studio, and we're.
I don't know. It's like the Coneys are really big here. I don't know. Fine dining, though.
Well, it's going to be great. Whatever you think of as specialties of the Midwest area, which I guess would go from Detroit, Ohio, over I don't know, all the way to the Plain States, maybe, certainly Illinois, Ohio. But Chicago is thought of as a meat capital, right?
I mean,
deep dish pizza.
And sometimes pizza. Yeah. Maybe that, yeah, that could be cuisine in the Midwest.
Wisconsin.
Okay.
And where's Chef Chris here? He was just outside there. We should ask him about what is the cuisine of the Midwest. He's always around here on Fridays. I don't know. He's forced to clean up the kitchen because 5101 is closed on Fridays. But no, he has meetings and he organized a lot of things. On October 19th, if you want to wait a week, Polish and Central European theme at the regular restaurant. This is not the big buffets. This is the regular restaurant on Wednesday and Thursdays. And apparently there's Tuesdays you can do lunches too. I didn't realize that. And the dinner, let me read this. The hours of operation at 5101, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursday lunch, served from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. The dinner time is Wednesday and Thursday nights from 6 p.m. until 7:45 p.m. Reservation is not required, but strongly recommended, especially for dinner. Yes, they do show up there a lot. And the number is easy to remember. The phone number is 313-206-5101. The address of the college and the name of the restaurant in the student center. 206-5101. In terms of another special benefit, there's a scholarship dinner. That's a little pricey because they're trying to raise money for scholarships. That's on October 29th, $49 a person. And that they do that every year, and it's a great event. And on November 18th, so you might want to circle this one, a little before Thanksgiving, but get your head start here, the Holiday Buffet is $16 a person. And I know John has already got that on his list. He never misses our buffets here.
Try not to. No,
there.
Good.
So 5101 Restaurant right here in the Student Center at Henry Ford College. It's a great bargain for food and always some new kinds of food going on from week to week, different themes and the special buffets too. Okay.
We want to mention the Dearborn Performing Arts Center concert tonight. Yes,
Yes, I've got it right here.
Oh,
yes, it's at the center, Dearborn, the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. There's the full name,
right.
And of course, the Dearborn Symphony kicks off their 54th season. In a way, they kicked it off because it happened 2 weeks ago, I think, at U of M Dearborn Henry Ford Estate. Which is now just the Henry Ford Estate. U of MD is not organizing it anymore. They're not managing it. They sold it to the Ford Foundation, okay, and the Ford family owns it, and they have had it closed for a couple of years, totally renovating the mansion and the area and the grounds, and one of their major events this year was this Sunday afternoon performance of the Dearborn Symphony. Couple weeks ago on Sunday, I missed it, but nonetheless, that was supposedly a great time. And this is going to be their first performance back at indoors at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. It is tonight, starts at 8 p.m., and it will be a pair of, as they call it here in the paper, powerhouse masterworks.
Hmm.
And tongue twisters, too. Sibelius's Violin Concerto and Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. They're described as both evocative, that means emotional, right, and powerful pieces. Okay, so you don't want to miss that. And it's always a big party, that first night. And tickets are still available, ranging from $15 to $30 in balcony and main level are available by phoning the symphony office. I'm not sure until what time today. So sometimes they close about 2 o'clock at the symphony office. But the Dearborn Symphony office is 313-565-2424. But I would think it would be better either to go by or call the theater box office that is at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, which is 313-943, which is the City of Dearborn Extension. So all city offices phone numbers start with 943-313-943-2354. So that's the center, theater box office, 313-943-2354. It'll be a great night to open the season, the 54th season. Boy, they've been around a while. Those people don't look that old.
No.
No, I guess they're not. They're probably not the original ones. But in any event, they want to mention that, and speaking of age, their special violin soloist for Sibelius's violin concerto is Benjamin Beelman. He's only 25 years old. So if you want to see a youngster who's brilliant, he's been critically acclaimed both North America and Europe for his performances and deep, rich tone. He has deep, rich tone in his violin. And the Washington Post newspaper called his performance mightily impressive. And the New York Times described it as muscular with a glint of violence. And he's only 25.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope that's a recommendation to come by the Dearborn Symphony. They've partnered, you know, with local restaurants for dinner and a concert. The restaurants are Andiamo Dearborn, Big Fish, Dearborn Inn, The Henry, which is the restaurant at The Henry, the hotel. Mm-hmm. Yes, which was originally the Ritz-Carlton, for those that don't know what we're talking about. And I think for those people that want to get in at a little bit lower price level, La Pita in West Dearborn. So they offer a 20% discount to symphony ticket holders on concert nights. Reservations are recommended so that you get in early at the right times and don't miss the performance. But you got to have your tickets in your hand, I guess, to get the discount. So that's a cool deal, and it'd be a great night out if you haven't planned anything else. It's still a chance to get over there, and the WHFR is a proud co-sponsor of the Dearborn Symphony events, and vice versa. They like us too, because all the classical music we have in the evenings and middle of the night. Okay, let's see what else here. Oh my goodness, 10 minutes to Highway 61 and Joanne Korchinska. We're getting excited here. Yep, Kitty loves getting her fingers ready to do the typing and all the other studio backup for her. The Big Read. And I was going to something today. I didn't bring my book of Edgar Allan Poe, though. The Big Read is an event to foster people to get involved with reading out loud great classic literature. I know a few years ago we all did a recording here of some piece, I can't remember what it was. Kitty Love remembers that we did that. And we presented our individual readings at various times during that week of whatever it was. Well, this, apparently, they did a kickoff last night, so it's old news in a way. And a lot of people, big shots, famous people in Dearborn, community leaders, they went and read something by Edgar Allan Poe, a variety of things. Of course, he wrote poetry, he wrote short stories, short novels, I'd call them, not long novels necessarily, and one of our great American authors. And if you haven't read some of those, then you ought to try. It is quite an interesting experience to read some of these things out loud. People say, well, I don't like poetry. Did you ever try to read great poetry out loud? Listen to it. Feel it. You know, it's supposed to be like lyrics to a song. It's supposed to be experienced orally, not orally, orally. That's through your ears, you know, and A-U-R-A, okay, orally. And so the Big Read is going to be happening all over town, and the stories in the Press and Guide indicated that they don't even have the space to publish all the different places. There's going to be a Big Read in the next week. So just grab some Edgar Allan Poe and read it out loud to your friends or neighbors. See what they say. And it's in the spirit of Halloween, too. I mean, like, he has all those scary stories, on the edge of horror stories, some of them, like The Telltale Heart and The Employer Who... he was an employer? No. Telltale Heart was just a man whose his father was living with him, and he didn't like him, and he... Well, he did terrible things to him. But anyway, a little scary. By the way, Edgar Allan Poe, and as a former English teacher, I have to say, Poe also was the originator, not only the horror genre, and in fact, the whole idea of the short story, he wrote essays that described why the short story, that is a certain length, not too long, just one sitting to get it finished, you read it one sitting, maybe 2 hours or so, why it's so good as literature. In other words, he said, this is a valid genre of literature. It ought to be done more. It's totally different than novels. And so he was a big proponent and writer of short stories himself. So he not only is given credit with really formalizing the first horror stories, but also science fiction stories. See, science, where was science in 1840? Well, he wrote one of the first stories, I remember reading it myself, about a chess-playing robot. A man built a robot to play chess with him. That's all the robot would do, right? But it finally didn't work out very well. Cautionary tale here. The robot kept beating him at chess. And so the man then started a fight with the robot, and the story ends with both of them dying in a fire. The whole place goes up because of their battle. And so that's you know, science fiction was always making social comments about this, the future of technology back in 1840. He was writing this stuff. And we still are wondering today about the threat of artificial intelligence, machines, computers, robots, whatever. And we don't want to do a battle with them if they're smarter than us. Remember that. John, you have something in your hand. We only have about 6 minutes.
Well, I just had the Pope picture on the paper of him, of his gloomy characterization, sitting with a noose around his neck. With a noose around his neck. So that was interesting. Yeah.
I also want to give credit to Poe one more time too. He originated, they pretty much say, the modern detective. So the modern detective genre was created by him. And it's not a single detective story. He wrote several stories, but one was called The Murders on the Rue Morgue. Mm-hmm. And it was a detective in Paris who had to figure out who done it, who committed this terrible murder, because all the different witnesses and people that were nearby that heard the event happening or saw a little something from a distance, all their stories disagreed with one another, especially in terms of the nationality of the murderer. They said, oh, I heard him speaking French, no, German or English or Russian. And I can't give away the ending, folks, but it was a great story. So the sort of Sherlock Holmes-type logical deductive detective was actually decades before Arthur Conan Doyle wrote Sherlock Holmes. And it was, well, one story they always point to is Murders on the Rue Morgue that had that kind of rational detective in it. Okay, there was also a rational detective in Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, which was written about the same time in Russia. But they think that Dostoevsky read Poe, and that's how he got the idea for his character and the detective in that novel, too. I don't know, maybe not. Sad story here. Representative John Conyers, who represents Detroit and some of the east area of Dearborn in U.S. Congress, his wife just filed for divorce. But the full story is kind of sad because she was found guilty of something, wasn't it? Sent to prison for some sort of corruption charge anyway. I don't know if she's out of prison now or not. But
yes, she's out of prison.
Yeah, well, got to do something with her time, I guess. But I think divorce is always sad. Okay. Finally, I've got to get this in, John. Riders invited to a healthy Dearborn family bike ride. That is a week from this Sunday, October 18th. And where is the story here? Uh-oh, we got so many stories. All the stories that we have time to fit in, and we never have enough time. There it is. I got it.
Okay.
I'll put it on the desk for people to read. It's 10 a.m., Sunday, October 18th. It starts at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center here on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. It's a family-friendly, police-guided bike ride through the heart of Dearborn. They need police to guide you through the heart of Dearborn. Free access to the center's fitness area, too, rock climbing, wall, and pool. So they're opening up the center for free activities during this this time. Registration starts at 9:30 in the morning. It doesn't say when it ends, so maybe it's a whole day. It is co-sponsored by Beaumont Health, which, of course, is now operating what formerly was known as Oakwood Hospital here in Dearborn, as well as Botsworth and the previous Beaumont hospitals. They're all part of Beaumont Health. And, of course, the city of Dearborn is helping, too. So that's not this Sunday, but 10 a.m., 9:30 registration. It starts. I guess you'd get there a little bit later. Great fun for the kids and the family, especially in these bike rides through the heart of Dearborn. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, where is that heart? I thought there's an East Dearborn, a West Dearborn. Is Ford Motor Company part of the heart? I mean, they're going to ride down Michigan Avenue, they better be careful because they only got one narrow sidewalk there. So maybe they're going to, you know, mark off a bike lane or something back and forth. We don't know. But snacks and safe bicycling handouts for all kids and adults. And just like the photo that goes along with the story on the poster that they have for this family bike ride, please, everybody wear helmets, okay? You really need to. It's only a bicycle. How much can you hurt yourself? You could die, okay? I mean, if your brain is hit hard on a rock or a stone, if you fall off the bike or hit a tree branch or something, who knows? You need that protection. So everybody in the picture is wearing their hat, although one girl looks like she doesn't seem to like it, and she's got it halfway off her head. Mm. She's embarrassed. She likes her hair to show a little more, I guess, but that's wrong. Anyway, so the bike ride is a week from Sunday. John, some other things to wrap up here?
Yes, Jay, this is October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I have a very good friend who is recovering from breast cancer surgery. Her name is Karen Scrocky, and she's doing very well. And there's also an event called Breast Health Boot Camp, Monday, October 12th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Downriver Family YMCA in Southgate. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Henry Ford Wyandotte Hospital is the overall sponsor for that. And it says, well, we should bring your mom, sister, neighbor, or best friend out for a night that's all about taking care of yourself. Join us for Breast Health Boot Camp, an interactive class regarding breast cancer and prevention. The class includes healthy eating and food samples, fun group exercises, and expertise from Henry Ford experts.
Group exercises for the breasts?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. No, I think for your overall health is what's important. That helps fight cancer no matter what.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. We just have a very successful career day here at the college yesterday. There was almost 100 or more employers, and we had huge crowds here in the student center of Henry Ford College, and that's over now. But there's another one coming up, and they're thinking more than 100 employers, and they expect 2,500 job seekers to attend this one. It's their autumn job fair sponsored by Access in Dearborn, but everybody, it's open to everybody. Well, it's open to the public. It'll be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. next Wednesday, October 14th, where at Dearborn's Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. Boy, a lot of stuff is happening there, isn't it? But that's Wednesday during the morning, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And, of course, Access is partnering. So what kind of people, employers there? Well, some big names. Lowe's, Home Depot, Citizens Bank, the U.S. Army, Little Caesars, and Beaumont Health Services, and there'll be many more public and private institutions. As I said, more than 100 different employers. And, I would say come dressed for success. Bring a resume. And it doesn't say that in the article, but that would be. So thank you, Access, for putting that on here locally at the center. I'm sure there'll be plenty of room for that event, and that's next Wednesday morning. And if you're, of course, don't have a job, then you're probably available. So come on by and check it out. You might get something. In fact, I was talking to a student yesterday, John, and they said, I didn't even know they had these businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, usually people, well, where will I get a job? So they think of the big names, you know, the ones that advertise on TV or something. And they never really think of the smaller businesses that need people, too. So that's another reason. If you need a job, or you know someone that does, tell them about the Access Autumn Job Fair next Wednesday morning at Dearborn's Ford Community Performing Arts Center. No charge to get in. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, and we're waiting for Joanne's arrival, and Highway 61 will be starting in just a moment. I think we can wrap up then. John, got another story, though, too? Okay, one more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This October 15th at the Crystal.